welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent, back again, season two. Today on the show, we've got Scottish Brave. I mean, Scottish Brave, if you've ever been on her stream, you know how much fun she is. You know how much joy and energy she has on stream when she's doing races. Her commentary, her demeanor, her swearing, it's all there. It's all a good time. And it's all here on the show. It's a great interview. In fact, it's more of a conversation than even an interview. I really had a blast talking with her. We'll get to that. We had the 216 weekly this past Saturday. Again, we have the 216 weekly every week. Saturdays, noon Eastern, restreamed on my channel, twitch.tv/fearagent_. This week was inverted, and we restreamed 2C and Scottish Brave. A really good time over there. You should check that one out. I still need to upload that to the YouTubes. Seat is available in the Discord as well if you want to give it a shot. 2C won the restream. He was second overall behind Ninjembro. And he has chosen Potpourri as the mode for this week's 216 weekly. Potpourri is a ladder mode. It's open all dungeons. And then the dungeon items are small key and big key shuffled. The bosses are shuffled with the full shuffle. The swords are randomized, and you start with an activated flute, hookshot, and ice rod. Fun mode. I haven't played it in a long time. In fact, I forgot what it was. I had to look it up before I did this. But that's what we'll be playing on the 216 weekly again this Saturday. Everyone's welcome to join. I think we had 8 or 9 this time. Saturday's noon Eastern. Lots going on. Kaz Boots now in the top 8. We have our matchups for the top 8. Again, this is a single elimination tournament, which is pretty cool. Top 8, you've got Gamachu versus Chloe Prower, Hitsu versus Bwayne, GGW versus Jem, and Rob J. Beasley versus Tito. Just going to go through, make some predictions. If you listened to my predictions during the main tournament, you know how off I was, so who knows. Let's see. So Gamma versus Chloe Prower, I'm going to go with Gamma. Hitsu versus Bwayne, I'm going to go with Bwayne. GGW versus Jem, I'm going to go with Jem. And Rob J. Beasley versus Tito, I'm going to go Rob J. Beasley. That would put Gamma versus Bwayne, and I'll put Gamachu over him there. And Jem versus Rob J. Beasley, and I will put Jem there. That would be a Gamma versus Jem finals. And I think Jem is probably the best Kaz Boots player, so I'm going to pick Jem. I think most of it, or if not all of it, will be restreamed on Speed Gaming, so check out their Discord. I'm sure they've got a schedule to that somewhere. Cross Keys tournament just wrapped up the Swiss. I was able to go 6-2, which is better than last year. I went 5-3, and I was able to make the top 16 play-in race. It took two races because my race versus Gilgamesh, which was restreamed on Willard's channel, I'm sure you could find it over there, Willard J. Bradley, was a tie. It ended in a tie, 2-second tie. So we had to do it again, and I was able to win the second one and move on to the top 16 race. And then the top 16 race just happened this morning. 9 of the 20 made it into the top 16, and I think it's a single elimination best of 3 bracket. So I didn't make it. I didn't make it to the top 16. I didn't have, honestly, a lot of expectations to make it to the top 16. I don't do really well in big races. I do prefer one-on-one races as opposed to the big races. I know back in the day, all we had was those big races, and that's kind of what everyone did. I'm just not very good at big races. I usually don't win them, and you didn't have to win this one. You just had to be top 9. Even with qualifiers, I'm a very thorough router, and I don't know. I think I might play myself out in my own head. Like, I didn't give myself much of an opportunity to win this or to qualify. But afterwards, when I looked back, I was one item from go mode, and I made one decision that cost me the race, that cost me the top 9. This is going to go into spoilers for the race if you didn't watch it. I had 6 crystals finished, and I'm looking for Turtle Rock big, and I go into GT. And I do the left side because this was the first real opportunity I had to do the left side with the hammer and the hook shot. So I'm literally just looking for the Turtle Rock big. I just skipped left side swamp, and I left all of the back of pod because I only had 2 keys when I did it, which was a crystal. So I'm looking for the Turtle Rock big. I do the left side and finish off GT. And I have the climb and then a bunch of just random one-off checks like desert, pendant desert, and a bunch of other stuff. But I looked at the VOD, it was like an hour 54 when I finished GT. And I made the decision, I'm not going to climb. I'm just not going to climb. I that was my decision. That's what I felt like. It was like, gut, do I go with the most dense location, which was the climb, or do I go check like the, you know, desert right or desert boss or some other random checks? And I chose not to climb. And the answer was the climb. So at the 1 hour and 54 mark, if I had climbed, I have it 157, 158. I finished Turtle Rock and I'm done a little after 2 hours, which would have been close to first place. So I feel like I played myself out of the tournament with one decision. And maybe it's because, I don't know, that's rando, right? Like I'm not too upset about that. Like I made a choice. I stuck with it. It was the wrong choice and kind of it is what it is. I'm honestly not upset that I lost. I after watching back and seeing where I was and having a chance to win the whole thing, I was in it. I was in it. What I don't love and what will keep me from playing the Cross Keys tournament next year is if there's another 180 runners and it's still only top 16 and you have to go 6-2 and to do another play-in race. I just don't like it. And this is not the fact that I didn't make it. I'm cool with my play in that race and I'm cool with the outcome. Like I understood I made a decision and it was the wrong one and that happens. That's random, whatever. What I don't like is you're doing 8 weeks of 1v1 and you get to the end and then you got to do a big group race. And it's different. Doing a group race is different than doing 1v1 races. Maybe if it was like a group of like less than six or something and then like the top three, I don't know. And if they're going to continue to do that, it's fine. That's their tournament. They can do whatever they want. I just don't know if I want to participate. I just don't know if I want to do that. I don't want to be a part of a tournament where you do well and you leave feeling pretty bad. So I did improve from last season and I am happy about that. And I understand that I had the opportunity to make the top 16, but even if I did, I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like the way that's done. I feel like you either extend Swiss until you get to a natural top 16. I don't like the fact that you have two different systems. You have a 1v1 and then you have to do a group race. I wish there was a way that was like built a little bit more natural. I would have rather been just knocked out by my record than go 6-2 and have to be top 9 of 20 people. I don't know. I just don't like it. Don't like it. So I hope something changes. Either they scale the top 16 to like a top 32 or maybe expand the weeks or I don't know. I don't have the answer. My job isn't to come up with the answer. I just want to play in the tournaments. And I don't want to leave the tournament feeling bad. And this tournament, I felt bad. Again, not because I didn't make top 16. I feel that way regardless of the results. So move on. League's coming up. Very excited about that. Got a team. We'll talk more about that as the teams get revealed and the divisions get revealed. I'm really excited to see how the Invitational and the Open pan out. Should be a good time. As far as the Cross Keys tournament top 16 matchups, again, it's single elimination best of three. We have Goomba versus Wall Kicks, Gamma versus Willard, Top Life versus Telethar, Illis versus Breve, 2C versus Humbug, Ramon versus Artie Walsh, Zelga versus Tutor, and Schulzer versus Megawatt. If I was to make a prediction, I would say Goomba versus Ramon in the finals. We'll see how that goes. All right. Enough of that. Enough of me bitching about the tournament. I don't want to take away from the fact that it was a really good tournament as far as the admins and the scheduling and the way they handled everything. I think the admin team is great there. I think for the most part, I think, you know, it's a really well-run tournament. I don't think they're anticipating 180 players. I think they need to adjust. You just got to adjust. In my opinion, again, this is all my opinion. They might think it's fine how it is. And if it is, that's fine. I just don't know if I want to do it. That's cool. Enough of me bitching. Let's get to the show. We've got Scottish Brave. So Scottish Brave is pretty new to the community, but her and her fiance Zen, along with Structural Mike, have kind of taken over and just exploded and are winning and winning and winning. They qualified for the Invitational in their first league season. All three of them had real good runs in the main tournament. Their streams are just really fun to watch. So I was really excited to talk to Scottish Brave. And the conversation's great. The conversation is really great, as you can imagine. Yeah, let's get to it. All right, Scottish Brave, you came out of nowhere and just blew up. Like, oh, it felt like immediately, because all of a sudden I see you winning the league, top 32 in the main tournament, and I go into your chat and there's like a million people there. So I'm super excited to hear your story and how you got into this game, because your rise has been like historic. To be honest, it feels historic to me.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's just how you play or whatever, how it came, and we'll get into all of it. But man, I'm so glad you came onto the show.
Thank you for having me. It was honestly, I was blown away when you asked, because I was listening to season one. I was like, and in my head, I thought, how? Oh man, that would be so cool. That'd be so cool. But no, I'll not get asked. I'll not get, like, look at the folk you've got on there. Like, nah. And then you asked, and I was like, yeah, go on then.
Of course I was going to ask. I mean, when you were listening from season one, when you were in the middle of the main tournament, I was really rooting for you and Zen to face off in the main tournament. It was so close, too. So close.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been, yeah, I think we would have had to be top eight or top four. I can't quite remember now, for us to have met. So looking at who we were going to have to face to meet, to be honest, I thought my number was up when I came up against Fred, because that was, yeah, everybody knows how good Fred is. And I was like, oh, okay, well, this is tough for me anyway. But we, both of us actually, we didn't even think we would qualify. So when we did, it was like, okay, playing with house money now, if I make it out of groups, excellent. Did that, made it into top 64. Cool, if I make it top 32, excellent. And then, yeah, it was just absolutely playing with house money. So it was just, let's see how far we can go. So didn't even imagine qualifying. So top 32 was insane for me to make it that far. That was definitely, I'm proud of myself for making it that far. But yeah, I always try to do better than I do last year. And now I've set myself up with a tall order. So
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You had the league season four, you finished top four. And we're going to cover all of this, but you finished top four, and then you and Zen also just kind of destroy that main tournament. It's just like that last year of Rando for you has just been awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't even know where it's come from. Well, okay. I will have to give a shout out to my friend and moderator Soz. He's made training plandos for me, which I have to attribute all my success to that.
Although, plandos.
Yeah. So I didn't know what this was called. I didn't know this was a thing, but I can't picture anything when you close your eyes and somebody says picture a red car, most people see a red car, but I don't see anything. It's just black. I can't picture things, and it's called aphantasia. And as it turns out, that can cause a little bit of a problem in a dark room when you don't remember what the room looks like. So he genuinely made me a dark room plando. So the lamp doesn't exist and forced me to do the dark room. So
wow.
It actually made me be able to do dark room. So yeah, genuinely, yes, that part is attributed to him.
That's awesome. All right. So let's cover some of the history. Like, what was your gaming experience growing up?
So I never played Zelda for a start.
Wow. You grew up in Scotland, right? I don't want to just assume.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. Yes. Born in Edinburgh, born and bred. Cool. And then moved across like central belt. And, then I moved down to England. It'll be, I think it's 9 years ago now.
Okay.
And funnily enough, we've just got confirmation today of a moving date for moving back up, which is going to be June next year.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm extremely homesick and can't wait to get back.
What made you go from Scotland to England?
My mum is from down here. And, oh, okay. Without going kind of too deep into it, because it's extremely depressing, I was actually in a bad relationship and got out of it. So it's extremely depressing and awful. So yeah, I escaped and I ran away.
Well, that's good. That's a good that you were able to escape and get out of that situation.
Yeah, definitely. So it just kind of came down here just to, yeah, it was... I ran away because I just couldn't deal. And but I don't regret it in the slightest. It's what I needed to do. And if I hadn't done it, I would never have met Zen. So absolutely no regrets whatsoever.
Sure. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with leaving a bad situation. and trying to make things better. So you're growing up in Scotland and you're not playing Zelda. Are you playing other games? What are you playing?
Yes. So we had we did have a SNES, and it was basically all Mario. Mm. I remember growing up with it. My mum used to play it. Maybe about 5 or 6, perhaps, watching her play it. And then we got a little bit older. We got a PlayStation. So we were into Spyro the Dragon, Crash Bandicoot, playing FIFA with my sister. But she would cheat and restart the game if she was going to lose at the 90-minute mark. Mario Splash... Spyro and Crash are like my main games, the games I grew up playing. And then of course Pokemon as well. When Pokemon came out, got ourselves a Game Boy, and I was obsessed with the Pokemon Red and Pokemon Yellow.
Okay, I've actually never played any Pokemon game. So Pokemon is so, I mean, I know a couple of the characters like Pikachu and but Dragonite, that's the sprite you use, right?
I use Charizard.
Okay.
Charizard. But I see you got no Charizard. Charizard is best boy.
But I mean, for people your age, I think you're quite a few years younger than me. Pokemon became huge, right?
Yeah, I was definitely the right age for me. I was just obsessed with it. I played Red and Yellow to death, basically, and my sister had Blue, so we could trade to get the full Pokedex. And then Gold and Silver came out, and I tried Gold, and to be honest, I couldn't get into it. I definitely had blinders on that just the first 151 were perfect and you didn't need to add to it. But I kind of stopped playing Pokemon after attempting Gold and never picked up for a long time. And then I picked it back up, I think, when it was X and Y came out. And they've definitely, for my experience, they've changed a lot, because Red and Yellow and Blue just kind of held your hand for the first 2 to 3 gyms, and then it was like, off you go. And now they are just so hand-holdy. Like, the Sword and Shield came out, you weren't even part of the main story. They were like, don't you worry about it, you go do your Pokemon journey and we'll deal with it. And it's like, but I want to do things. So yeah, but when Pokemon Arceus for me though, that was the game I've been waiting for. That's the Pokemon game I have been waiting for since Red Yellow came out. It was absolutely incredible and blew my mind.
Nice. And you're playing with your sister a lot, you said?
When we were younger, yeah. She doesn't really play anymore. But she cheated a lot. So you know. We did the sibling thing of, you know, I want to play, and it's like, I'll give you a controller that's not plugged in. You can use that one. Go on. But we used to play Mario together. I was always Mario. She was always Luigi. The eldest gets to be Mario. That is the rule. That's a hard and fast rule, and everybody knows it.
Of course.
I kind of stayed playing games and she kind of didn't. So, yeah, we don't... as far as I'm aware, she doesn't play too much anymore, but if we ever did, she'd still be Luigi.
And probably be cheating too, right?
Still probably be cheating. Don't play Monopoly with her. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'll look after the money. It's like, that money's going to go missing. I know you.
So you kind of evolve with the times. You go from the SNES when you're young and PlayStation. And does it continue on as you get older?
Kind of, yeah. Like I stuck with the handheld consoles for Nintendo. So went from Game Boy to Game Boy Color. What was next? The Advanced. And then the flip. Is it the SD? The flip one? Can't remember now.
The DS?
No, I skipped the DS. So I kind of stopped when I went to university. Honestly didn't have time.
Sure.
And although I kind of wish I'd continued, and it was always like handheld consoles, so I missed PlayStation 3 coming out, Xbox. I never touched PC gaming whatsoever either. Never gamed on a PC. I just kind of never did it. I don't know if you call it gaming. I did get an iPad and play like Farmville or whatever it was.
Sure. Killers than actual, like, I don't know. They're like fun and they're light, but they're so different than what we think of. I guess what I associate with gaming, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was mainly what it was just to kill some time. So, yeah, I kind of took a break from gaming for probably about 4 or 5 years, actually, between kind of uni, actually even longer.
Wow.
Yeah, probably about 7, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Probably about 7 years, yeah. I didn't really have any consoles whatsoever.
So what was the first Zelda that you played?
Funnily enough, it was Link to the Past, but that wasn't going to be the case. So when Breath of the Wild came out, Zen got that. And I had never played Zelda, and I didn't really have any interest in Zelda. Mm-hmm. But he kept playing it and showing, oh, look at this, and oh my God, it looks beautiful, look at this. And I have no knowledge of Zelda, so it's like, yeah, well, yeah, that looks really good. And when just to get half-hearted, yeah, that's great, love, yeah. And then when I started streaming, I used to do kind of variety, and Breath of the Wild came to my mind, and I remember it was actually a good-looking game, so I thought, yeah, I'll give that a bash, why not? And I mentioned it on stream, and everybody was like, no, don't start with Breath of the Wild, don't start with that, it's so different from the other ones. Play Link to the Past or play Ocarina of Time first. Like, don't start with Breath of the Wild. And I honestly went on Nintendo Online. Link to the Past was free to play if you had the mm-hmm. Nintendo Online. Mm-hmm. So I thought, right, well, I'll start with that then. That was just over 2 years ago, that was.
Oh, wow. You just started playing Link to the Past over 2 years ago?
Yeah, yeah,
that's, I think, crazy. It was like, that's crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how was that first experience with it?
It took me 16 hours. And sure. Moth alone took me 2 hours to do.
Sure. Moth is not easy. Yeah.
Oh, I hated that moth so much. So, mm-hmm. I remember that caused me to end a stream, because I think I'd been at him for about an hour and 15 minutes and I just kept dying and having to go back and get magic. And eventually got Sarah, I was like, right, I'm fucking done with this. I'm done. We're going to, right, fuck this guy. I'm coming back to this guy another night. I'm actually going to flip tables if I keep doing him. I think I left a few days, came back, 45 minutes, got him done, and I was, that was like a thank fuck moment and leave. And so happy that I never had to go back to him. But it was good, and I enjoyed the game. It was a good game, and I am thankful that I did that first before going on to Breath of the Wild. But it was literally, let me get this out of the way so I can move on to the game that I really want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And picked up Breath of the Wild from there, and kind of like, yeah, I finished it, and I only kind of very vaguely knew of Randall.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really had any real intentions to go back to it, to be honest. Just, it was mm-hmm. It was going to be a one and done deal.
Sure. Did you, when you played that first playthrough of Link to the Past, did you use any sort of online tutorials or any help, or were you figuring out all how to do everything by yourself?
I was figuring out by myself, but also getting help from a chat when I got stuck. Mm. So I like trying to figure out what to do, but I'm not one of those people who's going to sit there for 5 hours when somebody knows the answer. Like, yeah. I will hit a frustration point, and if I can't figure it out by then, I'm just like, somebody tell me what to do, or somebody tell me where to go.
Yeah.
Did
you play it how it was intended to play, like Dungeon Order? Did you do Skull Woods 3rd? Do you remember?
I want because to see, yes, the game wants you to go, I can't quite remember.
Skull Swamp, Skull Woods, Thieves Town, I think is the order, the dungeon order, which is just dumb, right?
Yeah, I think I might have done Pod, Thieves, Skull, and then, Swamp. Yeah, I think I might have skipped Swamp. I'm not entirely too sure now, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, literally my only traumatic memories is of that moth. I don't even remember. It's 16 hours and 2 hours on moth. That's the only thing I remember about it.
Just nightmare. Upon nightmare of moth coming at you. That's hilarious. So you moved on to Breath of the Wild, and I haven't actually talked to anyone on the podcast about Breath of the Wild, but that's actually my favorite Zelda game, like, of all time.
It's my second favorite, behind Link to the Past now, but yeah. For me, like, I think it's a bit different for me because I don't have this like nostalgic love for Zelda. Mm-hmm. It's for me, it's all brand new, but I can see why it's such a different game from the others, because I've now played Ocarina of Time and I've now played Link's Awakening as well. So I do see mm-hmm. the difference. I see the big difference.
Yeah.
But what an incredible game. I was kind of like enjoying it. And then I think I got up to Zora's Domain, and I don't know what changed then, but it was just a game that I just couldn't wait to play again. It was a game that I couldn't put down. Yeah. Incredible.
The sense of exploration that game has of like wonder, like I wish I could recapture that. And I'm really hoping that Breath of the Wild 2 kind of gives that to me again. But it just felt like, man, I can explore everything and check out everything and do everything. It was just like, I hadn't played a lot of open world games like that in the past, or I hadn't played any, because I've been such like just a Nintendo guy, that when I got that experience with Breath of the Wild, I was just like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
And being a Zelda fan, it has so many nods and winks and stuff to all the past Zeldas and things. So that was pretty big. So let's rewind it even a little bit back before you got to Link to the Past. You said you were already streaming. When did you find Twitch?
I think it was Zen who mentioned it to me, that he was interested in doing the streaming, that we should do it together. So I started streaming 4 or 5 years ago now.
Okay.
But honestly, our intention when we started was that streaming was going to only be used to make content for YouTube, and YouTube was going to be our focus. Mm-hmm. And then I think we got about 2-3 months in and realized that I really hate editing. I think I find it tedious.
Sure.
And I was having so much more fun streaming, and, you know, I had folk occasionally coming in. You know, it's like when everybody starts, you don't have that many people. So when somebody shows up, it's like, oh, a person's watching. And I was loving that feeling. And then, yeah, it flipped on its head, and it's like, okay, both of us are going to make Twitch the focus. But neither of us had like a main game that we wanted to focus on. So we were both just going to do a variety and play whatever we fancied.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite fortunate. I had a few people who kind of stuck around regardless of the game that I played. But, you know, you have people who come to watch for a game and then you finish that game, so they don't want to watch because they're only watching for that kind of game deal.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard to build up a channel when, you know, you don't have something that you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it makes sense. Yeah, it's good. I got to play a lot of games that I wanted to play. And then I definitely got to play some games that I never finished because I got chicken shit. And yeah, I tried Subnautica. I think I lasted about 10 hours. And then I was like, I don't fucking like the sea. I don't even know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, I understand that. You do such a good open job of cultivating community on your stream, though. I think that's why it's grown and people like being a part of your streams.
Thanks. I've got a simple rule. It's just don't be an arsehole and you can hang around, and that's it. It's literally this, you know, it's the only rule. Some people can't follow it, but it's a very, very easy rule to follow. And if you're an arsehole, you just get banned. I've not got time for your shit. And I'm so fortunate for it, and I'm so thankful for it. It's when you explain it to somebody who, you know, doesn't watch Twitch, and they don't get it. Like, people just come and watch you play games. I'm like, yeah, but you don't understand how huge that is when you're the one playing the game and folk are watching you. I'm so lucky and I'm so fortunate to have the community that I have.
Yeah, and it's continuing to grow. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with Zen?
Yeah. So how long we've been? Well, I've been together, it'll be 7 years in January. Getting married in October next year.
Awesome.
We met because...
Was it in America? Did you meet in America and England? Because Zen isn't...
No. Yeah, we met in England. We both moved here. He's actually lived here longer than I have. He's lived in England longer than I have. So he was here first and then I moved down. And we met online. And because he'd mentioned something about people taking the piss out of his accent. And I was like, people take the piss out of my accent as well. And, you know, I'm not the smoothest player on the field, but what an icebreaker. So I dropped him a message. And yeah, literally, so we started talking, and he was actually in America visiting family at the time. And when he came back, I went to Scotland to visit my family. So yeah, we were chatting for about 3 weeks. And I actually came back from Scotland a day early just so I could see him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we went out on a date, and then the next night we went out on another date, and then the next night we went out on another date, and then... Yeah, I think in the time we've been together, I think we've only spent about like 10 nights apart, and 99% of them is because he was in hospital. So, it was one of those when you know kind of deals.
Yeah, instant click sort of thing. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, yeah, we moved in about, I think, 3 months later. Mm-hmm. Just, it was, you know... There's so many warnings, you know, you're just moving too fast. And it was like, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to explain it. It was just when you know, you know. And
I 100% agree. Yeah. When you know, you know. Like I was a bit older when I met my future wife, and I think we dated for like 4 months before we got engaged. And it just sometimes it just happens really fast. Yeah.
Yeah, but if it's right, it's right. And if you know, you know. And then,
yeah.
And especially when you're like a few years down the line and it's like, do you remember how you were telling us we're moving too fast? Mm-hmm. Rub it in your face a wee bit because you are.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I'm going to have Zen on the show because I want to hear his kind of perspective from all of it as well. But you guys connected with the gaming aspect? Was that something that the two of you really had a commonality with?
Kind of, yeah. So he's PC gamed, I think, like nearly all of his life. So he actually introduced me to it. Gave me like one of his old gaming laptops, and I'm trying to think what was one of Don't Starve and Don't Starve Together was one of the first games that he introduced me to.
Okay.
And Steam, the world of Steam, because I'd never known any of this. And I was like, there are so many games. I didn't know these many games existed.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just, took off from there for me. So he kind of like, I'd always had like an interest and a passion for gaming, but he kind of reignited it. Because it was just, I don't know. It was just like a thing that... most of the people that I knew from university and work and stuff just weren't into it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a geeky thing. It was a nerdy thing. And I was like a little bit almost ashamed of that kind of side of myself.
You know,
you're in uni, you want to be the cool person, the party person. And then, yeah, kind of once, especially once I moved down here and met Zen, and I actually just came to a point, I was like, do you know what? Actually, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks of me. This is, I like gaming, I like Pokemon, I like geeky things. So, yeah, I just kind of let it all out. And yeah, Zen kind of reignited that passion for gaming then. And I was just like, I'm just diving into this now. I'm loving this. I'm loving gaming. I'm loving gaming with him, meeting new people, making new friends through it. Like, fuck it, let's just go for it. And... yeah, it's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible when things happened.
Yeah, it's a relief to like just be yourself and not worry. Like, who gives a fuck about what other people like? Like, I want to enjoy the stuff that I enjoy and do it freely without the cares of worry. And it's so freeing. And it just it's awesome.
Well, now I've got I've got half a leg sleeve and nearly a full arm sleeve full of geek stuff. So it's like, yous all know now. Yous all know.
Yeah, it's
I'm
out
a geek.
There now.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, there's no hiding it's not like, it now. It's all over.
Absolutely. Well, I've still got more limbs to go, so we'll see what goes on there.
So all those tattoos that you've had that you've shown on stream and stuff are post Zen. Like
no, again, okay. This is so I had. Let me think. I had I've got one on my right leg back. I had 5 tattoos, mm-hmm. but smaller ones before I met Zen, and he didn't have any.
Mm.
And then I mentioned to him that I was thinking, so I'd had an idea in my head for years about getting like a what I would call like a geek sleeve. So it's like a mix of like Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Star Trek, like just all of it. I love all of it. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned that he would quite like to get something like a Tree of Life tattoo. So we went in. So the guy who owns the tattoo studio we go to, I've known since I was 21. Because my mum used to work with him as a body piercer. So I got a lot of free piercings. They're all gone now, but I didn't mind being a free pincushion, you know. So I went into like, I knew of him and I knew he had his own studio, but he specializes in kind of like biomechanical stuff, which isn't what we were looking for. But there were two other artists working there. And one is Holly, who's done mine. And I looked at her work and she'd done so much. So she loves horror. She loves like kind of geek and nerd stuff as well. And I was looking at her work. I was like, it's you. It actually has to be you because you're going to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And Zen wanted watercolor and Danielle, the other artist, did that. So we went in and just kind of started. And yeah, that was kind of like the beginning of the end of clear skin mm-hmm. for us, I think now, because Zen's went from none to he's got a full back tattoo, shoulders, chest, two arm sleeves, and now he's working on his right thigh. And that's in 3 years.
Wow.
About 3 years. I want to say 3 years. It might be four. I might be telling you a lie, but I'm going to say three. And I've went, I have got half a leg sleeve on my left leg and, yeah, nearly a full arm. Because, watercolour is beautiful, but you can do, like, a big piece in a shorter mm-hmm. amount of time, whereas everything that I've got is incredibly detailed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just, yeah, we kind of met and then set off on this, like, this journey of tattoos and gaming together.
It's awesome. You seem very happy too, and I think that's the most important thing. Like, feels like there's a genuine happiness that the two of you have together and doing this stuff, and it comes through on the stream too.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm glad. He 98% of the time when he does make me happy.
Sure. 98% is very good. That's a very good number.
Like, you know, when he like steals the covers or starfishes across the bed, then it's like, I love you a little bit less right now, just a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So, Brando, how does that kind of come into the picture then?
So I'd done a playthrough of Link to mm-hmm. the Past, and probably the same person who's introduced a lot of people to Rando is we watched Andy and Ivan do the SMZ3 not a race but eventually a race.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was fun and it was entertaining, but because I think Metroid was involved as well, it's like, oh, I didn't get like too much of an understanding of what Link to the Past Rando was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I'm sure it was after that Andy did a crowd control. And that was one of the funniest runs I've ever seen. I actually, I genuinely thought I'd piss myself laughing watching this. I was in tears the entire time. And then it was Zen who said, why don't we do Rando? So I've played the game once. I don't know where anything is. Mm-hmm. So I literally sat and watched, I can't remember who now. I just sat and watched like a few people do a seed. And I was writing down, you know, where Blind's Hut was, Cack Well was, you need to speak to the bottle merchant, all these locations that you normally wouldn't touch in a vanilla playthrough because mm-hmm. you don't know they're there.
Right.
And then we raced each other, every Saturday, and I lost every week. He absolutely trounced me every week. And then
that you didn't love him. Less right there. Yeah.
Each week I love you 0.5% less. So he's skating somewhere around 79% right now. So he's on thin ice. he discovered the ladder. And I was like, all right, so it's like set races every week, because we had no idea about this community either, even existing.
Mm-hmm.
So he joined the ladder. I think, I want to say it was season 4. And I was adamant that I wasn't going to join till season 5 because I wasn't even sub 2 in Seeds at that time. So, no, I'm not good enough. I'm absolutely not good enough. I'm going to practice. I'm going to get better. I think I lasted 3 days and then I joined the ladder because I was watching Zen and how much fun he was having. He was having such a good time. And I was like, I'm going to have me a piece of that. Absolutely, I'm going to have me a piece of that. And if I remember correctly, my first ever race was against one Structural Mike.
And
I got annihilated as expected. it just kind of started from there. And I was like, I'm probably going to lose, but this is giving me like experience. And I was having so much fun doing it as well. And the feeling of like the first win was incredible. And then I raced Mike again, actually, on the ladder not long after our very first one, and I don't even know how it all came about. We just kind of started talking and became friends, and that was like the start of it. Like, I'd like that's the thing, I've got to thank Mike for that, because I lost, and I lost by a lot, but like he hung around, said GGs, I said GGs, and he was so welcoming and so nice. And like, what an introduction to the community for me to be racing such a nice person for my first one. Because, you know, if I'd got paired up against somebody and they were just like, you know, oh, you're shit, why are you even doing this? It could have really put me off. But he was fantastic and kind of gave me encouragement to go back in and try it again.
Yeah.
And then, like, I get like a huge, huge majority of the people that I've ever raced, be it on ladder, in tournaments, casually, whatever, mostly everybody has been incredible, like, you know, so nice. You know, let's have a laugh about it, regardless who wins, who loses. Oh god, that moon pro was shit, wasn't it? I was last location. And it's like the community itself for me is fantastic. You know, I've had a couple of salty bastards and stuff. I think everybody does, don't they? So it's when you finish and the conversation starts with "you got lucky," it's like, you're an arsehole, aren't you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I've had a couple of that. "You got lucky." Actually, no, I think I was just fucking better, son. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It looks like you actually raced against Zen twice that first season and beat him twice. You beat him both times.
Yeah. So for never winning in our kind of pre-ladder races, I think I beat him 4 times and I sniped him twice. And then I think he's brought it back. I think we're sitting at 4 wins and 3 wins for him at the moment. So yeah, that was the first time I ever beat him. I was absolutely in shock because I just kind of assumed if I ever came up against him, I was going to lose. But I beat him like 4 times in the first 4 races we met. So that might have produced his love for me.
So this is late 2020 that you guys first jump onto the ladder.
October 2020.
What was your experience after that? Where did you go? After the ladder, was there tournaments going on?
Yeah, so league was going on at the time. And it was Mike who suggested, he said, you know, if we're all still playing this next year, do you want to be a team, the three of us, and we'll join? Oh, it's fucking aye, yeah, let's go for it. And then I can't remember if there was anything. Oh, main tournament came about. And I tried out for that and I didn't make it. I finished at 129 with one race to go. So I thought, well, I'll do this other qualifier, see if I can sneak myself in. And I did shit and put myself further down instead. So that really worked out well for me. And so I went into Challenge Cup and I made it out of groups. I'm trying to remember this correctly. I think I made out of groups. I can't remember if I made it into top 32 or not, but I remember I went out to Worldwide Wimpy. But I met so many new people through Challenge Cup as well. So like the one I remember is actually Zen coming up against Trey Spire, and Trey is now somebody that we, you know, regularly game with. I raced Crystal, I raced Chelsea Lynn in that as well. Zeruvian was in our group and we actually never met either. But yeah, it was just fun. It was just great fun, and it was such an opportunity to meet new people.
Yeah, that the latter kind of, you kind of get your ranking, and you, it feels like you play a lot of the same people of the same skill level in ladder. You know, there's occasionally here and there you'll play some randomly new people, but it's not until you get into tournaments when you start expanding that and get paired up against people that are either at different skill levels or just different experiences.
Yeah, time zones as well, I think, is a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some people that I meet on the ladder maybe more at the weekends when everybody's more free. Mm-hmm. But yeah, tournaments, I think, are, it's an awesome way for you to like improve as well. And, you know, it's like, oh, I took a loss, let me see what you did. But the amount of people that I've met doing like tournaments and league as well, mm-hmm. that's what I think it is. It's just such a fantastic opportunity to meet new people and make new friends as well. I've met so many new people through it. So mm-hmm. even like, that's the thing for like, you know, like Cross Keys tournament, for example, last year I was out, I think it was week 4 or 5, but you know, still pushed on, got to race some excellent people that I might not have otherwise have met. And then same again this year, I've just met some like, you know, really cool new people as well. And I think it's the reason that I don't drop out, because it's like, okay, I can't qualify, but you know, more experience, more races, more people, more meeting new people.
Totally. And so so after your experience with the Challenge Cup, are you feeling like you're finding your people in the community?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I would say, like, yeah, I've got like a group that I kind of regularly game with, but mm-hmm. you know, I'll race anybody.
Sure.
I'm not fussy. But yeah, kind of, yeah, just like, you know, when you do a wee shout out for a race, it's like, oh, are you free? Yeah, I'm free. And it's like, oh, hi, how you doing? Like, you know, nice to see you again. And yeah, kind of, but it's, I just kind of like joined a group, or kind of, you know, 3 or 4 groups kind of like amalgamated together, because, you know, we also met like Homewrecker, we met Vix Rider as well. And, you know, now they're like some of the people that we regularly game with as well. It's just kind of wild, to be honest. You meet one person mm-hmm. who introduces you to another person, and then, you know, then they kind of like, you know, two groups come together to form one mega group. Mm-hmm. I think that's basically what happened. Yeah, but just, yeah, if anybody wants to race, they'll race. You know, it's like everybody's just welcome to join. And yeah. Again, the rule is just don't be an arsehole. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't be an arsehole. Come race with us. Excellent. Yeah. Let's go.
So you and I have actually raced twice on the ladder. And when we raced, it was in February of this year. I didn't really know who you were that well when we raced. It looks like
I knew you.
We had a Cross Keys race and a Ludicrous speed race. This is kind of back in February of this year, where I was really struggling with this game. But other than those two times, I feel like you and I haven't had really a chance to race when we've both known each other. So I'm looking forward to a chance.
Definitely.
So that I could qualify and get far enough in tournaments.
Don't you dare. Other way around here.
Well, so you joined the league in season 4, your first season that you were talking about with the Last Locationeers. Now, first of all, the name, did you know about the Last Locationers going into this when you chose that name? Okay.
No, we didn't. So no, that was, so the name was like a suggestion of like, kind of like pioneers. Mm-hmm. And I was definitely going through a period of Last Location and everything mm-hmm. constantly. So the idea came about of like pioneers, and I don't know why we all got an image of, you know, people wearing hats. Mm-hmm. And because the three of us come from different countries, it was like, well, we could have hats to represent our different countries as well. So yeah, literally that's where it came from. And then it was somebody mentioned it, like, isn't there somebody with the name Last Locationers? And it's like, well, we're the Last Locationeers. Like, what do you mean? And yeah, there was this whole other team called Last Locationers, and it's like, oh, everybody's going to think we've plagiarized the name, but it's,
yeah.
We had no idea. Literally the name came from the idea of pioneers and hats. That's where it came from.
That's great. So you guys started in the Open League. You and Zen and Mike at the time were relatively new-ish still, so weren't immediately called up to the Invitational. But that might have been a mistake because you guys go 12-2 in season 4. So can you just tell me about your experience in the league? Going, was this your first experience doing co-op stuff? And yeah, just tell me overall your thoughts on that season.
I had a blast doing it. So that's when, in all honesty, I was the one who signed us up, and I didn't even know that you could apply for Invitational without having done anything before. But also, not to shit on anybody who's just gone straight to Invitational, because we were new, we wanted to like earn our place in Invitational.
Yeah.
So I didn't even tick the box for Invitational anyway, not knowing we even could apply, but I'm glad that we went the way we did.
Mm-hmm.
So co-op, that was all brand new for us. So we'd done, you know, races and voice chat and stuff before, but never working together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you count multi-worlds, but I think even then you're trying to fuck each other over, right. So that probably doesn't count, right?
Yeah, multi-world is completely different than co-op. Yes, you are playing together and you're trying to find items for each other, but it's a totally different mindset.
Yeah, it's like, if you got B-traps, I'm fucking over. I'm going to send you a B-trap, you try a hover. that was probably the most that we'd ever done. So we practiced a lot on that. Didn't really practice co-op Retrons though for a while, and it kind of like, I think because we'd like, obviously Zen and I have, we'd been together like five, six years at that point, so communication wasn't really an issue for us. It was just, are you listening? You're not listening to me. Are you fucking listening to me? You're not listening at all. You're not even paying attention to me right now. That was kind of the issue. But, and then with Mike, we'd been like really good friends with him for about a year. So it was kind of like, it was like working out the best way for us to share information. And then from then it was just honestly smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I loved the co-op. I still get nervous for races. Ladder, not so much anymore, but any league races, tournament races, I still get nervous for them. Even if there's nothing at stake, I still get a bit nervous for them. And like having somebody else there put me at ease so much quicker as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a co-op race that we needed to do. Co-op reference, me and Mike, where it actually did matter. I think that was what maybe took us through to top 8 or top 4. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, but so it looks like the division finals, so the first round of the playoffs, you had the one of the few teams that actually ran co-op retrans.
Yeah, we ran it twice.
And you got the win.
Yeah, that was me and Mike that one, and I was shitting a brick from the start. And he was like, no, just calm down, it'll be fine. I'm like, you say that. Literally 10 minutes in and I'm so relaxed. I'm at ease. All I'm doing is playing a race with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the win for that one, and that was a huge relief. That was the thing. We joined league with the intention of, let's just see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made it out of the groups, and it's like, okay, like, see, we're here now. Let's actually try and make playoffs. Let's aim for playoffs. Let's see if we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, let's see if we can make top 4. Let's see if we can actually make Invitational. And we did it, and I was just so cool.
Yeah. So what was that experience like? I mean, you didn't make it to the finals, but you did make top 4, which is all you really need to do to qualify for the Invitational. So tell me a little bit how you were feeling when you were able to accomplish that.
It was a bit unbelievable, to be honest, because we, having never done league before and having never matched up against the teams, so we knew like some of them. So like Spaceballs, you know, we knew Killer App, we knew TJ Maelstrom, we knew Rio. So it was like, you know, I knew some of them, but there was a lot of players that we'd never faced before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going in not knowing somebody's skill level, really. I mean, you do have Ladder, you do have Race Time GG, but it's, you know, maybe you started playing on Ladder and didn't like it. So that's when you started. You've went away practice for 2 years and come back and shit hot. But on the ladder, you know, you've lost every race you've ever done, and it's just not, it might not be like a true indication. So it's right. Like, yeah, I'm going to fucking win this race. And then you get absolutely slaughtered and humiliated, and it's like, serves you right. But so, yeah, we went in with just kind of like no idea of what to expect, but only to try our best. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for us to be able to take it that far, it was honestly so cool. It was incredible. I was so proud of Mike and Zen as well.
Yeah.
We just did far better than we hoped to have done. And there's no way to kind of like honestly describe it properly, because sure. It's like it was so cool to make it, but you know, it was almost like a reality check as well of when you look in Invitational and you see who's there and you're like, oh shit, okay, well that's going to be fun next year.
Yeah, I mean, you guys cruised through your division, you know, going 12-2, winning that division. We're about to start season 5 here in a month. What's it looking like for the last location years going into season 5, and what are your thoughts and expectations now that you are one of the Invitational teams?
Yeah, well, all three of us are back. That was literally, yeah, I think it got announced and Mike was like, we're doing it, right? I was like, yeah, of course we're doing it. Stupid question.
Yeah.
So, like, have you seen our logo? It's incredible. Of course we're all coming back. I'm not changing that fucking logo now. definitely coming back. And yeah, I'm so happy Co-op Reference is like in properly, if that makes sense. Like, because we obviously got the opportunity to do it last year. I'm pretty sure I put that on the feedback form of, I want to see this again.
Mm-hmm.
Enemizer's in. My feelings on Enemizer are quite clear at this point.
Which are what?
I fucking hate it. Like, I hate it so much. I love Bossmizer, but honestly, I have a really short fuse for frustration. I don't get properly angry at stuff, but I will get frustrated very quickly. Mm. And like when I'm dashing along and I just get hit, you know, I run head first into a lino and I don't have a sword and I'm just sitting there and it's like, okay, that happened once, that's fine. That's okay. I can deal with that. Let's go a different direction. And then you run head first into a chain chomp and die. And I'm like, right, fuck it, I'm done. I'm actually going to hit someday if I keep playing this. So yeah, no, Enemizer is just not for me. So
are you skipping the co-op Enemizer?
Yeah.
Runs this
year? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Mike and Zen are going to hit up both of them. I'm going to be doing all four of the other two. So Retrons and All Dungeons. So I'll be doing all four of those races, one with each of them. And then there, yeah. Retrons, that's fine. That's my thing. AD, all right, then that's fine. It's you know, I can't say like I enjoy it, but I'll do it. And it's, you know, fun with somebody else. Enemizer, that's your deal. You do that. I'm out.
Yeah. So what's expectations for last location years this year?
Don't get relegated. That's it. That's the aim. We'll just go in and see what we can do. Like, it would be like, of course it would be cool to like make playoffs and stuff, but you know, when you look, it's the same deal as with Open last year. Like, you know, you go in, you see the, you know, some people, you know how good they are, some people you don't. So all we can do is go in and try our best, and either, you know, we'll make it or we won't, but we're going to try our hardest to not get relegated. That's the aim. That's the simple aim this year. Have fun. Try not to get relegated.
I would be surprised if you guys got relegated. I'd be surprised if you guys didn't make the playoffs, to be honest. The three of you are really strong runners, and
yeah, people have that's the thing. When we made Invitational, it's like people going to have expectations of us now.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's disappointing people. So
my expectations are going to be high for you guys.
Oh, no, don't. Well, you have to promise me then that if I'm shit, you don't come in and be like, I'm so disappointed in you, because I can't handle that.
Yeah, no, I would never be disappointed. I'd be sad. I wouldn't be disappointed.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I can't handle. Yeah, it's when somebody's like, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. I'm like, you just stuck a knife in my heart and twisted it. Yeah. Thank you.
So here's my question for you through all of this is, you picked up this game and your first race was less than 2 years ago. Do you just have a gift? Are you naturally talented at games? Because like I mentioned when we started the interview, your rise has been so fast. You just came in and it feels like you were competing and good. Like, how did you master getting so good at this game so quickly?
I was definitely shit when I started, but to be honest, I don't know.
Do you spend a lot of time in the practice hack, or Is it just racing or what's going on?
No, I've not got time, to be honest. Like, literally, so I've got a full-time job outside of this. I work from 7 a.m. till 3 p.m. Monday to Friday. Uh-huh. And then I'm normally streaming anywhere between 6 p.m., 7 p.m. my time till between 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night my time. Mm-hmm. And then weekends are longer. So, no, literally, any practice I do is on stream. Like if there's like tricks and stuff, I might go away and practice. So like diver down, for example, bomber diver down, I was having so much trouble jumping out of the water facing right. I couldn't do it. I just absolutely couldn't do it. So opened up the practice hack and I sat in there, and honestly, I must have spent like 1 or 2 hours sitting there practicing jumping out of the water facing right until I could get it consistently. And then even then I wouldn't drown the key in like a live race. If it was like I found the seed, you should play it. I was like, okay, fuck it, I'll do it then, because you know I'm not gonna lose because of it. It actually took me a few weeks after kind of becoming competent enough to do diver down to actually do it in a live race. Did it once and then that was it. It was like incorporated. But yeah, I mean, Soz gave me some stats. I think I'm coming up for about 1300 hours streamed of Link to the Past on my channel now. So it's like, I don't know, because I play a lot for fun as well. So literally just I picked up Randall and then became obsessed with it. And my channel kind of changed, I'd say gradually, but that's a lie. It kind of did very quickly from being variety to solely Randall, with maybe other things dotted in around it. So, you know, like I played like Frostpunk, Two Point Hospital, Planet Zoo, that kind of thing. Like I kind of dotted stuff in around it, but it just became very quickly about Randall, and it is primarily the thing that I do now. So it's kind of, I'll maybe do like an offline race, casual race with friends or something like that, but to be honest, no, like if I'm not streaming it, I don't play it.
So you just put the time in, basically just playing the game, not necessarily doing practice stuff as much. You just have put in a shit ton of hours in the last 2 years.
Yeah, unknowingly, but yeah.
It's because you're enjoying it though, right? That's the whole idea is you have.
Yeah, that's like Sauce came to me. Sauce came to me and he's like, do you know you're about to have 1,000 hours of Link to the Past? Like, shut the fuck up. No, I'm not. And he showed me and I was like, oh my God, like where's 1,000 hours gone? But so yeah, but what is it they say? It takes 10,000 hours to master something. So I'm I'm like 13% on the way there. So yeah.
So what's the future for you then? Do you want to be part of the council? Do you want to be part of any sort of leadership or admin or moderator? Or do you just want to play the game?
At the moment, I just want to play the game because this is going to come across as so shitty, but like I don't have the time to give. I wish I did. I wish I did.
Like, I don't think that sounds shitty. There's something shitty about that.
Yeah. Listen, no. I just take, I don't give, all right? But no, I would love to. Like, that's why, like, so I've recently started picking up, like doing some jank restreams and stuff. Because, I'd love to give something back because I've had so much out of this community. And, you know, I want to find a way to give back. But I can't, like, especially now between, like, working, sort of, you know, trying to organise the wedding next year, you know, moving to Scotland and like looking for houses to buy and stuff. Yeah, honestly, I feel like I don't have like a second to myself sometimes. So I would love to give something back, but I just don't have the time to give. I'd be so flaky. Like joining the council, it's like we've got a meeting. Oh, I can't make it because of blah de blah. Right, well, this needs done. I can't do it yet because, you know, I would just be so flaky and inconsistent. I'd love to find a way to give back once I've got, like, the time to be able to do so.
Yeah, I don't think, here's the thing, is I don't think it's necessary. Because I think, here's what happens, is we put time into the game, we love the game, and so we do want to either give back or have some influence over it. And then we overexert ourselves, right? And we burn ourselves out doing too much when it's like, just stay in your lane and make sure it's something that you enjoy, right? Like, because when the game becomes something that you don't enjoy, then it's work and it's like, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's, I mean, I've not exactly experienced like burnout playing this game yet, but yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I don't want it ever to become a chore. Mm-hmm. Of, oh, fuck, you know, now I need to go and do this. And it's like, you know, just lose all enjoyment. But I that's kind of one reason why I have started doing the restreams is, you know, I don't have so much time to give, but if I can pick up two folk for a restream and get more eyes on them than maybe they would get separately, and it's during like this time I'd be streaming, then I'll, yeah, absolutely, I'll do that. Let's get some, you know, these racers that I think are incredible. Let's, mm-hmm. pardon me, let's get some more eyes on them. Let's get more people watching them, because, you know, they deserve it. They're incredible. And if anything, people love watching a good show. They love watching a good race.
Yeah, for sure. Gosh, we're gonna run out of time, but I want to talk about your main tournament experience, because you go from missing out in 2021 to having a fucking awesome performance in 2022. So just tell me about your experience, you know, from one to the next.
Well, I shocked myself, to be honest. Like, it was my entire aim was to qualify. If I qualified, done. That's it. I already did better than I did last year. So managed to do that, and then we all got grouped up, and I was very nervous of my group, shitting myself a wee bit. But again, I like I said earlier, I qualified. I'm playing with house money at this point, so let's just do it. Let's just race. I was definitely amongst the people who were happy when they said that we're going to change inverted to inverted keys, for sure, because I've never played any inverted. I nearly didn't enter main tournament because of inverted, but not because I'd like, I know some people were thinking it was just such an outlier, but you know, I actually really liked the variety this year. It was simply because I hadn't played it, and that was on me. But yeah. I thought, like, again, it was kind of like a fuck it moment. Like, what's the worst that can happen, right? If I qualify and then I go, you know, rocketing out because I'm not experienced enough and inverted, then that's the way it goes. But, you know, it's not the end of the world if that happens. So yeah, let's practice inverted keys. Let's just run with it and see what happens. And then I don't know, I maybe the goats that I sacrificed worked and the Rando God smiled on me and I somehow went 6-0 in the group.
Who was in your group? Do you remember who was in your group?
Let me remember. Laggy, PH, and now I'm going to embarrass myself because I don't remember the third person. Oh, I'm so sorry, whoever you are. Oh,
but you destroyed them all. It doesn't matter because they were peons on the way to your domination of 6-0. Like, going 6-0 in any group is not easy. That's so hard to do with the variety of modes and the level of players and all of that. So you go 6-0. Got to be sky high, right?
Yeah, that was, it was, it does, it was, again, it was just like so cool to do. But it's like, in all honesty, something like that, I don't let it get to my head at all, because there is, I always think there is like an element of luck involved, but also, like, you know, it's, I walk into any race knowing, like, I could either win or lose, which sounds like a really stupid fucking thing to say, but you know what I mean, like, it's, I don't know how to describe it. It was so cool, and it was like, it felt amazing. But at the same time, I was like, do not get a big head over this. Do not get a fucking ego over this, right? Mm-hmm. You did it, well done. But whoever you face next is going to be just as challenging as everybody else you faced. And if you go in with a big head thinking, fucking 6-0 over here, you're going to get absolutely trounced and then look like an arse. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. It was cool and it felt good, but it was kind of like, you know, okay, that's good. You did that thing, but focus on the next thing now. Don't get like hung up on that. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to like, cause I had people coming in saying, oh, I saw you go 6-0. And I was like, thanks very much. Like, that's really cool. But you know, don't expect anything from me because I can be shit sometimes. And, you know, and you don't, I'd, like, one thing I never want to come across as is like arrogant, because it's, you know, it's random. It could turn
you're an
on
asshole
you.
Then, right? Yeah.
Yeah, then I'm an asshole. Then I need to ban yeah. myself from my own channel. And then what right. the fuck's going to happen then?
Right.
So, we're just done for.
So where did you finish, and how did you feel when it was all over?
So I went through from groups and I faced Fred, and I'm not like, when I saw it was Fred, I again shat a brick and I was like, well, that was nice while it lasted. Because I just knew how good Fred was. And then, especially in our first race, I definitely got my own head a bit, because I was like, oh, he's so good. He is so good. Like, you've got no chance. And I lost that first race. And I was like, yeah, cool. Beginning of the end. But do you know what? That's cool. I'm still happy with it. I'm still happy, you know, with what I've done. And then I brought it back in the second race and shocked myself. And I was like, maybe. And it got to the third race. Sorry, it was MM Tinez Cartridge was the third person. I'm so sorry for forgetting your name. So I took it to the third and I was like, okay, do you know what? You've beaten once, maybe you could beat him again. And yeah, I think there was like 2 minutes between us in that third match, but I managed to take the third match and I was just like, oh my God, like I did it. I'm through to top 32. I'm just like surprising myself here. So that was cool. And like Fred was like absolute class act as well throughout the whole thing. Like such a lovely person. Like I've never heard anything bad against him anyway, but yeah, like so lovely. So I was very happy to have raced him and got the opportunity to meet him. And then, yeah, then I went up against Skelly and lost 2-0. And Skelly, I cannot beat Skelly. We've met a few times on the ladder as well. I cannot beat Skelly. There's no chance. So went out then. But to be honest, that was like, I was playing with house money the entire time. Mm-hmm. So however far I got, I was already happy with how I'd done. Top 32 felt amazing. Skelly well deserved to win both races and well deserved to go on as well. So yeah, there was like no regrets, no saltiness, no nothing. It was just, I did awesome to get where I got to. I went out to an extremely good player as well, so I have no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, it's top 32 is awesome, especially in just your second tournament. And not only for you, but for Zen as well. That's just, that's pretty cool that you guys got to experience that together even.
Yeah.
And heck, Structural Mike was in the brackets too, top 64. So
yeah, he did. Yeah. So it was cool. That's the thing. I was like well chuffed for us all to get there as well, and it felt good as well because we were kind of like, because we went from open to invitational as well, and you know, the kind of thought filter streamer is like, was that a fluke? Was that a fluke that we managed to do that? And then we, you know, all four of us going into the main tournament and making it all through to the top like 64 as well. It's like, no, do you know, it's not a fluke actually. We might actually be like fairly decent at this game. But no big heads, arrogance down.
Yeah.
Everybody can be beaten, but that includes yourself as well. So
Sure. So I expect big things from last
location. No, don't expect things. The pressure.
All right. I've taken so much of your time. I really appreciate it. But we got to end with the tilt question. And you know it's been coming. And I'm hoping you can answer it. You know, how do you handle tilt? How do you manage tilt? What do you do when you get tilted? Just your thoughts. And hopefully you can do it in an American accent, too.
The accent's not happening. I tried. It's embarrassing.
You knew I had to try. You knew I had to try. I've been warning you on stream.
No, it's difficult enough to get words out with this accent. Never mind trying it with another. But honestly, like, I know it's been coming. I've been sitting thinking about it. So I kind of like, it depends. Like for me, it entirely depends on the kind of race that I'm doing. So when I started, I had like a 7 loss streak on the ladder and I spiraled because I was just like, oh, you know, I'm shit, obviously I'm not worth playing. And actually, like, Zen sat me down. He's like, do you remember we're supposed to be having fun doing this? And I actually forgot that. I forgot that it was meant to be fun. Mm-hmm. And especially when I started, there was a kind of like a self-worth thing attached to it. Like, if I lost, people wouldn't want to watch or, you know, wouldn't want to race me or anything like that. But that's not the case at all. So, like... yeah, I kind of like, I just try to remember that it is meant, you are meant to be having fun. There's always going to be losses that sting, like, especially now for me, if I get sniped, that hurts. But it's, I need to remember that there's always going to be another chance. It's not the end of the world. You know, I'm very fortunate to have like people who come watch and people who race as well around me, and you know, we just support each other throughout that as well. Like, I think like a good friend group and a good community really help for me personally, because it's, you know, it's like, oh, that sucks, that shit, but you look, you did really well, you played really well, so don't worry about it, you'll get them next time. But if I get hard with it, it's like I'll allow myself to feel shitty about it for like the rest of the night, and then when I wake up the next morning, it's done. Just, you know, get the feelings out, it's fine, you know, because it you know, it does matter sometimes, it does really matter sometimes, you really wanted to win something. And it you know, it just, it, you know, either, you know, you got out executed, outplayed, or sometimes Randall just be Randall, and that's the way it falls. You can't change anything about it, the result's set, unless they get caught cheating, but you know, that's an entirely different conversation, but
right,
you know, that's it, it's done, you can't change anything now, so feel shitty about it, get over it, that's the way that I do it, like literally, it's done, I can't change it, unless I go through and be like, that's a suspicious move, cheating, but but then again, I'm not an arsehole because I can't get banned from my own channel. But that's, you know, that's right. But that's it. It's the result's set in stone. That's it. So like, definitely, like, you know, some people, like, I used to ball it up, and I think that's kind of what made me spiral when I lost 7 races in a row. But no, that's it. Like, If I'm sad about a loss, and you know, I'll say on stream like, oh shit, like, yeah, I'm a bit sad, I'm a wee bit gutted about that one actually, but that's it, feel gutted, feel upset for a while, you know, eat some cake, eat some chocolate, have a drink, whatever you do, and then like literally for me it's like, just get over it, because that's it, nothing can change, and look forward to the next race, get hyped for the next one, next time we face so and so, I'm going to beat them. I'm going to get better, because all, you know, all I can do now is improve. Because, like me personally, I know that there's tricks that I don't know. I still don't know one and one Ganon. That still eludes me. Can't get it right. There's stuff that I can learn to be better, and I know there is. And I can improve my, you know, my routing can improve, my execution can improve. So I might have lost this time, but I can and might win next time. So it's fuck off the past. Look forward to the future. Focus on what you can do, not what's done.
That's awesome. That's great advice. That's great advice. Yeah.
It's very mean.
No, it's good, because so much in the past that I've struggled with is get angry that I lost, and then I'm angry that I lost, right?
Yeah.
And so it kind of like spirals out. And so now it's like, oh yeah, that sucks. That fucking sucks that I lost that race by 30 seconds or 13 minutes or whatever, but now I can just like feel it and do it and just let it be and then kind of let it pass.
I was the same. It's like I was angry about being angry, because like it's, and I'm very oversimplifying here, it's just a game, but it's so much more than that, but it's just game. Why am I angry that I lost a game? And then, but it's a valid feeling, because you know, it's sometimes it's everything. Yeah, I've put so much time and effort into this, and so that's the thing, it's a valid feeling to be upset about it, and I think that's like a big step as well, because it can, you know, it's like, oh, you know, especially when it's a race, you're like, do you know what, I've rooted this well, my execution's been on point actually today as well, I feel really good, and then you dot done and it's like, I fucking lost, all right then, cool, right, well, I feel shit, but you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes, but there's... Yeah, it's cool. It's a valid feeling to feel shit about it, but feel it, process it, and then fuck it off. because otherwise it's gonna haunt you into the next race. Mm-hmm. And then you'll probably lose that one because you're too busy being angry about the last one. And then that, it's just, you know what I mean? It spirals on and on to the next one. So deal with the feeling, fuck it off. Next time I meet you, I'm actually going to tan your arse and you better be ready for it.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you did this show. Thank you for coming on here. And I really appreciate you, just everything that you bring.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Honestly, this was so fucking cool.
Huge shout outs to Scottish Brave for coming on the show. I just had such a great time having a conversation with her. I'd really like to get Zen on the show and have an episode with him. And then I'd like to get the three of us together and have a two-person pod. I think that would be a great time too. So see if we can make that happen. Again, we've got the 216 Weekly coming this Saturday. Playing Potpourri, Open All Dungeons, Small and Big Key Shuffle, Boss Shuffle, Random Swords, Starting Flute, Hookshot, Nice Rod. We'll be playing that Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Again, we'll restream it over on my channel, twitch.tv/fearagent_. Thank you all for listening to the show. I can't thank you all enough. This show's going great. We have a lot of fun over in the Discord. We just had the 216 Fantasy Football League draft. That's going to be fun, so you can kind of follow along with that in the Discord. You can join the Discord by going to 216pod.com. It has links to the YouTube, my Twitch, and of course the Discord. Great place to be. You want to make sure you're there hanging out. We'll be back this Thursday with Oro, and of course, as all the shows are, but I think it was a great conversation. We had a really good chat with Oro. Oro's one of those people that has been around for a bit now, and it's kind of all over the place, but they're not racing as much, and I don't know, you just get to hear what they think about racing and their perspective on it all. It's really, really good. I'm really excited for you to hear the conversation that we had. That's going to be this Thursday, so come back for that. Make sure you subscribe to the show. We're available everywhere. If you could leave us a review, specifically on Apple Podcasts, that really help us out. Yeah, just appreciate you all. Appreciate the community, and excited about the future. All right, that's it for me. See you Thursday.